Good morning. Today's Daf Megillah is Yud Tes. We're on Yud Ches Amud Beis. We are starting today at the two dots, which are the last narrow lines on Yud Ches Amud Beis, and a continuation of the discussion of the first Mishnah of the second Perek. So, on Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, so we opened up with the second Perek of the Masechta, the four Prakim in total. I told you already at the beginning of the Masechta, the breakup of the Masechta, is that the first two Prakim are going to be dealing with the Halachas of Megillah. And then Prakim 3 and 4 are going to be discussing other issues, not necessarily Megillah related, but we're going to be discussing the halachas of Beis Knesset. We're going to be discussing the halachas of Kriyas HaTorah. So that comes up in the third and fourth Prakim. But meanwhile, here in the second Perek, so we're talking about the Megillah. As I already pointed out, just as an overview of the Masechta, the first Perek is dealing with just one simple question: when do I read the Megillah? Okay, that one question really covers the entirety of the first parak. Remember, the first parak went off on a number of tangents, but that's the one question that was discussed then. Here in the second parak, so now that we know when to read the Megillah, so we're going to learn how to read the Megillah. Although, quite frankly, it's going to be a little bit funny today, because also today we're going to be talking once again about when to read the Megillah. You'll see how that comes up in today's daf. But anyway, how do I read the Megillah? So the Mishnah gave us a lot of rules regarding how to read the Megillah. Do not read it out of order. That's what's called Lemafreya. You cannot read it alpeh. You have to read it from an actual ksav, and you have to be reading it in what language? A language that people understand. And if you read it b'lashon hashuris, if you read it in Hebrew, even if you don't understand it, you're still going to be yotzei. If you read it with pauses, or if you're dozing, so you're going to be yotzei yidei chavasa, that you will fulfill your obligation. And then we're up to the next line of the Mishnah. So on Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, if you're just looking back at the Mishnah, it's the fifth line down in the Mishnah. Ayah kosva v'darsha magia. So let's say you're writing the Megillah, you're darshing the Megillah, you're proofreading the Megillah. So the Mishnah says, im kivan lav libo yatsa v'im lav lo yatsa. So it depends whether or not you have kavana or you do not have kavana. If you have kavana, so you're yotzei zayin. And if you don't have kavana, so you're not yotzei. So the Gemara over here would like first and foremost to establish what exactly is the case that you're writing the Megillah, and at the same time, you're reading the Megillah. Now, I am not a sofer, but I would imagine, yes. Yeah, so, Phil thought what I'm about to say, and that is that I would imagine you cannot write a Megillah in the course of one day. Meaning, right now, the Mishnah scenario is that as you're writing the Megillah, so you're going to be saying it over, and the question now is are you Yotzei? And it's going to be a function of whether you do or you do not have Kavana. But I do have difficulty imagining that the Megillah is 250 psukim. You're writing 250 psukim within one day. So that is, you need to be a really, really good sofer, a really quick sofer. Anyway, but I'll bypass the practical point that I just raised, and we're going to deal with the Gemara's conceptualization. Hayakosha Dorsha Magia im kivan lab libo yatsa hechidam. The Gemara says exactly, how is this working? So the Gemara says, what are you doing over here as you're writing each pasuk? You say the pasuk and then you write it down. So So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Even with kavana, So that's going to be balpeh, meaning if what I'm doing is that I'm saying the pasuk and then I write it down. So good. So I said the pasuk before I wrote it down. That's called kori alpeh. We already learned together that kori alpeh doesn't work. Okay, so the Gemara says, fine. So what we did is that we read the pasuk. The sofer wrote the pasuk, and then immediately after having written the pasuk, he says it over. Umiyatsa, the Gemara says, but that doesn't work as well. Because as he's writing, so what is he looking at right now? An incomplete Megillah. So a halacha that we're going to go over two times this morning. Here's going to be our first time. And that is that to read from the Megillah. We will debate later this morning how much of the Megillah do you have to read. Meaning, as we'll see later on. So according to some shitas, you could skip some of the Megillah. And you could start at a later point in time. Okay, we'll come back to that later this morning. But meanwhile, right now, the halacha is like follows. Even if you're of those positions that you could skip a little bit of the Megillah, you still need a full written Megillah in front of you in order to be yotzei zayin the mitzvah. So once again, I'm going to my sofer now, who, let's say, he writes a pasuk and then he says it. I don't care. Meaning he still has an incomplete Megillah. He still has whatever left of the Megillah he has to write is incomplete, and that's not going to work. So the Gemara says, okay, so What are we? So what's the case? Meaning we're just right now just trying to wrap our head around what exactly is the case of the Mishnah. So Ella de Mancha Megillah Kamei Vekari Le Minei Psuka Psuka because of law. So the Gemara says the case has to be where he already has an existing Megillah, and what he's doing now is he's writing a new Megillah. So he now looks in the complete Megillah, right, the one that he's copying from. He says over a pasuk. Then what he does is he writes in his new Megillah. So here now, Kavana becomes the critical issue because he is in fact reading from a Kasha Megillah. But one can make the argument though that because he's only just right now, his chief concern is to write the Megillah. So maybe he didn't have the requisite Kavana. And the Mishnah's point is that he needs the requisite Kavana. Okay, that's the case. Okay, so it took us a minute or two or four. At least now we understand what the case is. So the Gemara says, okay, now this may get us into a halacha of safras. Now, the halacha of safras, according to Rav Yochanan, is that you can't write even a letter of any of Tanakh without having another Tanakh there. Meaning you can't do anything by memory. You have to have a Tanakh there. Afilo osachas. Now, based on our Mishnah scenario, it's going to be supportive of Rav Yochanan. Now, again, our Mishnah is not talking about Hilchos Safras. Our Mishnah is talking about whether or not you yotzei the Megillah. But agav orcha, but incidentally, our Mishnah could be telling us a halach and Safras. So the Gemara says, no, Dama Yisra'a Milei Yisra'a Muye. So the Gemara says, no. In other words, our Mishnah over here is just talking about a case. It's talking about a circumstance. But it doesn't necessarily mean that this is the cut and dry halacha as it relates to Hilchos Safras. Maybe as far as Hilchos Safras is concerned, maybe you could write Baal Peh. Maybe you could write just based on what you know is the correct nusach, is the correct girsa. But in our Mishnah is just simply giving us a scenario. Okay, so our Mishnah is not going to be a bona fide proof. Gufa. So the Gemara says, okay, you know what? As long as we brought up the halachas of Safras, so Amar Rabba Barbachan, Rav Yochanan, Asa Lechtov, Asa Shalom Neksav. Okay, so we're going to go back and we're going to revisit this halacha. So now, for a couple of minutes, we're going to talk a little bit about Hilchos Safras. So, the halach of Rav Yochanan is that you cannot write even a single letter of any sefer in Tanakh without having already a sefer in front of you. And you got to be copying from the sefer. Meisve, the Gemara says, okay, I'm challenging you based on a Brais Amar Rabbi Shem Amin Elazar Maisa Rabbi Meir. Shalach la'aber shanam ba'asya velo hayasham megillah v'kasvam libo v'kara. Okay, so Rabbi Meir had to travel. He went to Asya, which I guess what we would call Asia. But that's not helpful. It doesn't tell us where it exactly is. Anyway, he traveled somewhere in the Middle East, and he had to be ma'aber shana. In other words, there was a need to intercalate to add an additional month in the year. Why is he going to Asya to do so? Okay, a lot of issues that are side issues, important side issues. But meanwhile, we're going to be focusing on the one single point that's germane to our discussion, and that is that he had no Megillah. And it was Purim time. Now, obviously, by the way, in other words, it makes sense. In a way, when are you Ma'abashana? You're Ma'abashana in the month of Adar. Okay, so, excuse me. So now it makes sense that now he's stuck without a Megillah. And so what does he do? The Kaspa Miliba Vakara. So he writes a Megillah. In other words, and obviously he doesn't have any Megillah to copy from. So he's writing a Baal Peh. So that is the story with Rabbi Meir. So what it sounds like now is that you can do it. So I'm a Rabbi Abahu, Shani Rabbi Meir, the Mekayim Bey. So the Gemara gives, the Gemara could have given a number of answers, but the Gemara now says, look, as far as Rabbi Meir is concerned, so he's different, right? He's built differently. So the Pasuk says in Mishle, Vafafecha Yashu Negdecha, meaning you could see it. As far as Rabbi Meir is concerned, he could see the Megillah. He knew it so clearly, and he knew it so intimately that he knew every single letter. And even though he's not copying from a Megillah, but for him, he has that clarity of memory when it comes to the Megillah. He knows it so well. So Amalei Rami Barchamalei Rabbi Yirmiya Midifti Mai Vafafecha Yeshu Negdecha. So what does that mean? That your eyes, it's straight in your eyes. So Amar Lo Elu Divrei Torah Dechzibu Hu Hisif Einecha Bo VeEinenu. So that's a description of Torah, and by Torah Hisif Einecha Bo VeEinenu. Sometimes you just learn something, and then what happens is it's not there. Okay, unfortunately, that's the case. In other words, right, we go through an entire daf. Oh, it's a terrible example. In other words, now I'm thinking of electing a different example. But as long as, right, sometimes you go through a whole daf and then you ask to review the whole daf and it's not there. And it happens. So the Ve'afilo Hachi, Miyoshar and Hain Eitzel Rebbe Meir. So the Gemara says, fine.
So even though Torah requires work and one is prone to forget it, which is why we need to review it and repeat it again and again. But as far as Reb Meir is concerned, so Reb Meir is Miyushar and Heinetz of Reb Meir. Reb Meir still was special. He was unique. Okay, more on this topic in Hilchos Safras. So Rav Chista encounters Rav Chanano, and what Rav Chanano is doing is he's writing Sifrei Tanakh, and he's doing so by heart, based on his memory. So Amar Le Ruya Kol Torah Kula Kasef Al Picha Ela Kach Amru Chachamim Asa Lechtov Osecha Shlom and Aksav. So they say to him, look, you're an excellent sofer. You're beyond excellent. Meaning, I know you have a command of each letter and each word. But still, the halacha is that you have to be writing from a pre-existing sefer. Okay, obviously, I mean, this is an obvious point. But in other words, when you are passing down the Sifrei Tanakh from one generation to the next, and from one century to the next, so despite the fact that you think you have the best memory in the world, but obviously, it's in order to create the integrity and the faithfulness of each and every letter, so you want to be copying it from a pre-existing sefer. So midikam or kolatara kula ruy shitikasev al picha mechlal demiushar and heneflow. So the Gemara says, now, think about the compliment that he was just given. He was told that, look, I know you know all of Tanakh, and I know you know a kol, but still, you have to write, yeah, when you write it down, you have to write it minaksav. So, vahav Rebbe Meir Kosov. So the Gemara says, okay, so now our challenge goes back to Reb Meir. Because Reb Meir was exactly in that scenario, and Reb Meir is exactly of that genre of person. That person who knows every letter of Tanakh, cold. And could write the whole thing out by memory without making a mistake. And meanwhile, Rav Chananel got slammed for not copying it from a pre-existing sefer. And so now, even though he has a perfect command of the entire Tanakh, so now we turn back to Rav Meir, and the Gemara wants to know. So new Rav Meir, so how did you do that? How did you write a Megillah Baal Peh? So the Gemara's answer, which you probably would have guessed, Shasat Chag Shani. The Gemara says, yeah, okay. So in other words, if everything's equal and you have the availability, so then of course you should be writing it from a pre-existing sefer. However, Rav Meir was traveling. He was on business over here, not even on business, meaning he was traveling to be Ma'abar Shana. So he had a mitzvah of Mikra Megillah. So he was stuck. So what else is he supposed to do? Okay, fine. So he wrote for himself a Megillah based on his memory. So, but under normal circumstances, even a person like Reb Meir is going to be copying from a Sefer Torah.
The very first Sefer Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote was also written without
it. Oh, okay, good. I understand. It has to start somewhere. Okay, Abayishar L'Debei Bar Chavu L'Mechtav Tzil Mezuzah Shalom Neksav. Okay, and now that we have gone over the halacha really clearly, that when you're writing a Sefer Torah, you must be writing Minaksav. You have to be writing from another Sefer Torah, copying from another Sefer Torah. But meanwhile, a heter within this halacha, and that is Abaye. Abaye gave permission to these particular sofrim that when they're writing either tefillin or mezuzos, they can write shalom and aksav. They can write it based on memory. So, come on, ki haitana detanya, Rabbi Yirmi Amar, Mishum Rabbeinu, tefillin, mezuzos, nechtav, shalom and aksav, vein tzrichin sirtut. So, and this is in alignment with Rabbi Yirmi. Rabbi Yirmi quotes the b'shem Rabbeinu. Okay, so Rabbeinu over here could be a reference to Rav, but either way. And that is that tefillin and mezuzahs are nechtav shalom and aksav. So tefillin and mezuzah. So you can write just based on memory. And also you don't need the scoring. You don't need to write to mark off the lines in order to write tefillin and mezuzah. V'ilchusah, the Gemara says, okay, now that's an opinion. As far as the bottom line of halacha is concerned, tefillin and tzrichat sirtut, that the tefillin do not require sirtut. So you don't need to score. You don't need to make lines, sketch out lines in the tefillin, mezuzah, tzrich, and sirta, but that's not true by mezuzah. Mezuzah, you do need lines. And he divide, nechtav, shalom, and eksav. So although we don't paskin like Rav Yirmiya regarding sirtut of mezuzah, meaning the halach is that mezuzah does require sirtut, even though tefillin does not, but vis-a-vis writing shalom and eksav, that's allowed. Right, the halach is it's allowed. So if you're a sofer and you really know your parshios of tefillin and mezuzah really well, by tefillin there are four parshios, by mezuzah there are two parshios, and if you know them really well, so you can write them based on memory. So my time, my migros agrees. And so the Gemara says, and the reason why is because it's shgur befiv. In other words, it's a small amount. They keep doing it over and over and over again. So basically they mastered it. In other words, these are some things which are, excuse me, easily masterable. And so therefore, a person can have the proficiency, the necessary proficiency in order to write it, and even though you're not writing it from another document. Okay. Haisak Suva Bissam. Last halachas of the Mishnah, which means that we're closing on the first Mishnah of the second parak. So you have to be writing it with proper black ink. And you cannot use any other types of ink. What other types of ink are we talking about? So the Mishnah gave us three different examples, and the Gemara is going to be helpful, but not helpful to us, because we are not fluent Aramaic speakers. But what the Gemara is going to do is it's going to convert the words of the Mishnah into Aramaic words. So for the Aramaic speakers amongst us, which I know they're not amongst us, but for the people who are speaking a fluent Aramaic, so it's very helpful. For us, on the other hand, less so. Okay, so Sam is Sama. Okay, so we just went from the Hebrew to the Aramaic. I do wonder. Yeah, it's what's it called? You read my mind very well. I do wonder, how did they not figure that out? Okay, in other words, it's whatever. It sounds almost identical. It don't matter. So Sam is Sam and Sikra, Amarabba Barchama, Sikrasa. Okay, good. And Sikrasa Shema. And Komos is Kuma. Okay, good. So again, the Gemara is just simply giving us definitions of what the Mishnah meant. The Mishnah is written in Hebrew to what the current Aramaic words are. Kan Kantom, Charasa Dushpicha. Now, as far as Kan Kantom is concerned, so it's some sort of shoe polish. Diftara, Demalich, Vekamech, Velo Afitz. Now, as far as Diftara is concerned, so it is a parchment. It's a type of cloth, but it's not fully processed. There is some chemicals that are put on, and there's some flour that's put onto it as well. But low offits, but didn't go through the final third chemical stage, right? They put on some sort of gall juice on it. I don't know what I'm talking about. It doesn't matter. In other words, I understand the basic point of the Gemara. It's not fully processed. So diftar is malich v'kamich v'lo afitz, and niyar is machka. And the niyar that the Mishnah says you can't use, so what happened was is that it is kosher cloth, however it was written on, and then it was subsequently erased, and that doesn't work as well. Ash teksuv ashuris tichsiv kichzavam v'chizmanam. Now it has to be written, Lashon Ashuris has to be written in Hebrew, because it says kichzavam v'chizmanam ala sefer v'video. On kosher cloth, using regular ink. So the Gemara says, based on Xerishav, Xiv Hachavi, Vatichtov, Esther, Amakav, Xiv Asim, Yamar, Lahem, Baruch, Mipiv, Yikare, Elias, Kola, Dvere, Ma'ila, Vani, Kosev, Ala, Sefer, Vidyo. Okay, so we have Xerishav, Apostolic in Megillas Esther, Apostolic in Sefer, Yirmiyahu, and so each one of them using the word Sefer, and the one in Yirmiyahu, not only using the word Sefer, but on top of that, it also says, Bidyo. Okay, good. I'm sorry, the Xerishav is predicated on the word Kesiva. And then in Yirmiyahu, it also says Sefer and it says Dio. So that means to say that the Megillah also has to be Sefer and has to be Dio. Okay. Adkan. That takes us now to the end of our first part of today's daf. A conclusion of all the halachic points of the first Mishnah. Okay, second Mishnah of the Perek. Ben Ir Shehalach L'Krachu, Ben Krach Shehalach L'Ir. So you're traveling. Now, again, here's what we know. We already learned this in the first parak, and that is if you're living in an unwalled city, your mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah is on the 14th. If you're living in a walled city, your mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah is on the 15th. And so now you travel. Okay, it happens all the time in Eretz Yisrael. So people who are in yeshiva and outside of Yerushalayim, I happen to have gone to yeshiva outside of Yerushalayim. So you go to yeshiva outside of Yerushalayim, so your observance of Purim is going to be on the 14th. Here in Galus, so everyone's observance is going to be on the 14th. So, and then what happens is that you go to Yerushalayim on the 15th. Okay, we did. Probably not for the extra drinking. I'm sure that's not the reason why. Okay, but neither here nor there. So, but anyway, so now what? So as far as the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah is concerned, so now what you do is that, the Mishnah now is going to be addressing, are you obligated to read the Megillah also on the 15th as well? Or let's turn that around, okay? Because really, this is what the Mishnah is dealing with. They're both important topics, obviously, but the Mishnah is really dealing with the other. Let's say you're a Ben Krach. Let's say you live in Yerushalayim, and now on the 14th, you travel to go visit people who are living in an unwalled city. Right, you go to Tel Aviv on the 14th. Are you chayv now to read the Megillah? Okay, so it's a really simple question. And the Mishnah tells us, Ben Yerushalach l'krachu, Ben Krach shalach l'ir, imasi lachzor limkomo korim kimkomo, v'imlav korim ahem. So it depends on when you're planning on going home. If you plan on going home, so then you read like your home. And if you don't plan on going home, so then you read like them. Okay, in a moment, I'm going to do a much better job explaining the scenario in the Mishnah, but we don't have enough information yet. So right now, I'm going to leave it in the vague way that I just described it, And momentarily, we're going to do a much better job understanding the Mishnah. So now, what part do you have to start reading from? In other words, I mentioned this earlier, but here's the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that according to some Tanaim, so you can skip parts of the Megillah. Again, we're going to learn a second time this morning that you have to have the entire Megillah in front of you, but whatever, if you, let's say you want to skip a little bit. So are you allowed to skip and still be Yotzei Zayin the Mitzvah? So as we're going to see, there are various opinions. So Rabbi Meir, Amar Kula, so Rabbi Meir says you got to read the entire Megillah, and that's the halacha. Okay, but there are other shitas. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Ish Yehudi. So Rabbi Yehuda says you can start from Ish Yehudi. That is in the second parak. So Rabbi Yosi Amar Me Achar Dvi Ma'ela. Achar Dvi Ma'ela, that is the third parak. Okay. So there are various opinions. In fact, we're going to get even another opinion momentarily in the Gemara. Okay, so and we'll come back to this idea of skipping and why. In other words, why in the world could you skip? Right, that's a really reasonable question. We're going to come back to that. In the meantime, however, Amar Rav Lo Shanu El Shasi Lachzor Beleila Yudalit Aval Ein Asi Lachzor Beleila Arbaasar Kore Imahem. So now we're going to get a clarification on the case of the Mishnah. So here I'm presenting it like Rashi, and that is that the Mishnah is really focusing on what happens when you are reading on the. When you are a ben krach, you are a member of a walled city. Okay, you're a resident of Yerushalayim, and now what you do is that you are going to. Yeah, we're good. I know. And now what you're going to do is that you're going to be visiting somebody out of town, meaning out of Yerushalayim. So now, on the 14th, on the night of the 14th, you went ahead and you traveled to friends of yours in Tel Aviv. Relatives in Tel Aviv, doesn't matter. And am I obligated to hear the Megillah? So Rava says it depends. If let's say you plan on going back home before dawn, right? This is the way Rashi's explaining it. If you plan on going home before dawn, so now the halacha is like this. You don't have to hear the Megillah on the 14th, even though everyone there.
Rava, we can't see you.
It's okay.
Thank you.
As long as you can hear me, that's the important part. Okay.
Thank you.
Good. Okay. So if you plan on going home that night, so then you don't have to hear the Megillah, despite the fact that everyone else is sitting there going to shul and hearing the Megillah. You don't have to hear it because you plan on going home that night. However, if your plans are you're going to be staying there till the morning, through the morning, now you're considered a member of an unwalled city. As a result of that, you must hear the Megillah on the 14th. Rashi also goes on to say, oh, by the way, if you'll go home that day, and now the next night you're staying now in Yerushalayim, you got to hear the Megillah again the next night as well. And the next morning. Okay. So what we are seeing together now is this halacha that you're considered a member of an unwalled city for being there ben yomo. Right? That's the Gemara's language we're going to see momentarily. You have to be there ben yomo. You have to be there for a day. The definition of a day is the night, And up to and including the next morning. If you hit a dawn in that town, you're considered whatever that town person is. By the way, Rashi points out it works in the other direction as well. Meaning if you're a member of an unwalled city and you happen to be in a walled city and you're there that morning and your intention is to be there the next morning, so now you're considered a ben krach.
Even
even though you've already heard it in your town, but nevertheless, in other words, for you to be constituted a member of that town, as long as you're there for dawn, so you're now also considered a member of that town as well. Yeah, it would seem to be even though you already heard it.
Are you supposed to, you must not have known twice also?
That's a fair question. I'm not sure what the answer would be. My guess would be yes, but I don't know. So Amar Rav Lo Shanu Elo Shasid Lachzor B'Leila Yidav V'Einasid Lachzor B'Leila Arba Asar Kori Imahem Amar Rav Menami Nala Dichsif. So where's the basis of this halacha? So the pasuk says, "Al kena yudim ha'prazim ha'yoshim ba'areya prazos michtiz." The Gemara says, "Let's think this through." Ksiv ha'yehudim ha'prazim lama lemichtav ha'yoshim ba'areya prazos. So it says ha'yehudim, and it also says that they're yoshev ba'areya prazos. That's superfluous. So kamash blan depraz ben yom manikra paros. So that means to say that if you're just there for one day, you're considered a ben paros vis-a-vis this particular halacha. So you're now obligated to read the Megillah because even though this is not your normal residence, but establishment of residency vis-a-vis the halacha of Purim is only going to be contingent on just being there one day. And the even more precise definition of one day means dawn. As long as you're there through the night and including dawn, so now you're considered a resident. You've established residency. Now, paros mukav minalan. So the Gemara says now, ashkecham paros mukav minalan. Good. Now, what about the other direction? Meaning we have a drasha for paros. Do we have a drasha for mukav? The Gemara says we don't have a drasha, but it's pretty logical. And that is svaruhu, the paros ben yamakari paros mukav ben yamakari mukav. Okay, so if it works, if residency for paros is established by one day, residency for mukav also is established for one day as well. V'amarava ben kfar shalach le'ir. So now we're going to do this similar halacha, but now we're going to be talking about a ben kfar. A ben kfar, you have a villager. Now, we already learned in the beginning of the Masechta that a ben kfar can go to town. And he does normally, typically go to town on the Monday and Thursday. So he goes to town Monday and Thursday prior to the 14th day of Adar. So a special dispensation is given to the ben kfar in that he can read the Megillah on the Monday or on the Thursday, on the preceding Monday or the preceding Thursday. Okay, what if our ben kfar already heard the Megillah on the Monday or on the Thursday, and then on the 14th he happens to be in town as well? He wasn't planning on going, but he went there. So as Rav is about to teach us, the halacha is, he's now obligated to hear the Megillah, despite the fact that he already heard the Megillah. So ben kfar shalach le'ir, ben kach, korima hem haitaima, hai kivnei ir by limikre. So the Gemara says, as far as the ben kfar is concerned, look, fundamentally, he needs to hear the Megillah on the 14th. And v'rabbanu dakil ala kfarim, and the chachamim just simply gave them a kula, kidei shi'isapku maimu mazun lachim shebekrachim, so that they're going to be available to provide food and water for the members of the city. But they're given a dispensation. So hani milikisa beduchte. So that dispensation, which relieves them from hearing the Megillah on the 14th, is because they're not in town on the 14th. They're not expected to be in town on the 14th. Avakisa beirkev neir by lemikre. But if they do happen to be in town on the 14th, so then they can't avail themselves to the dispensation, despite the fact that they already heard the Megillah. Meaning they were in town on the previous Monday or the previous Thursday, and they use this heter which they heard the Megillah on that day because they're allowed to, because that's a special dispensation. But if they turn out to be in town again on the 14th, now they're obligated, because really fundamentally they were obligated to begin with on that day.
They only get a check for the first reading because they're going to be in town for it.
Right. Now, in other words, what an oddity. Meaning that their check for the Megillah is only going to be contingent on them not going to town on the 14th. Absolutely correct. So the Gemara says, okay, but I have a brisa, says Abaye. So, and the brisa reads as follows, that if I have a ben krach that goes to the city, so ben kach u ben kach kori kemakomo. So he's got to be reading like mikomo, like his own town. So the Gemara says, what a funny brisa. And you know that brisa doesn't make any sense. Ben krach salkadacha? So what does that mean, ben krach? So be'im asir lach, so talya milso. As we already established, it really depends on when he plans on going home. So the brisa as is simply, it simply does not make sense. So what we need to do is we're going to edit the brisa. So elalav ben kfar. So now with our editing of the brisa, we don't really mean ben krach, we really mean ben kfar. That's what the brisa meant. And now the way we're reading the brisa is ben kfar, shahalach li'ir, ben kach, korim kemakama. Nah, he reads kemakama, he reads like a ben kfar. Okay. That's how we're interpreting the brisa, but we can only do that by editing the brisa. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second, slow down. You edited the brisa, so you see already that the brisa is corrupted, and we just edited the brisa. So I got a great idea. Why don't we continue editing the brisa? So v'lav teruch demitar, it's the tani kori imahen. So now, as long as we're editing the brisa, so here's what the brisa should be saying: that if I have a ben kfar and he's in town on the 14th, so now kore imahen. He reads with the people in the town. Good. Mehechen kori adam is a Megillah. So Tanya, the Gemara here now quotes a brisa, which provides for us a fourth opinion on this matter. So once again, we learned in our Mishnah that there are Tanaim who say that you could skip some of the Megillah. You have to have the whole Megillah written in front of you, but you could skip. You don't have to start at the beginning. Now again, Reb Meir says you have to start at the beginning, but we saw two other shitas in the Mishnah that you can either skip to the second parak, you could skip to the third parak. And now, a brisa, Rashbi Omer mi balailahu. So Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, now there are other girsas over here, some do not have the girsas, the Rashbi, but either way, there is a Tana, we could say it like that, there is a Tana who says that you could start mi balailahu, that's the sixth perek, basically halfway through the Megillah, that's where you could start. You could skip the first half of the Megillah. So Amrav Yochai mikula mikra echa darshu. Now, Where's all this coming from that you could skip parts of the Megillah? So the Gemara says, Gemara's going to have two approaches in terms of where all this is coming from. Our first approach is going to be Rav Yochanan. V'tichtov Esther HaMakah Mordechai Yehudi is called Tokef. So they wrote down S called Tokef. Tokef means strength. Whose strength? Man damer kula tokfa shal Achashverosh. So the one who says that you must start from the beginning, that cheats us, Rav Meir. So he said the tokfa over here, the strength of Achashverosh. Achashverosh is introduced to us in the first pasuk of the Megillah. Now, if you say you have to start from Ish Yehudi, which is towards the beginning of the second parak, so because it's the tokef of Mordechai. If, on the other hand, you think that the tokef is Haman, Haman's first introduced to us in the third parak. And if you say it's my Balailahu, it's because really the focus is strength of the Nes, and the Nes really starts transpiring in the beginning of the sixth parak. In the beginning of the sixth parak, what happens? So he can't, Achashverosh can't sleep at night. Okay, so already now we're starting to see the Nes. I mean, it's still a Nes Nistar, and you have to look for it, but you could start seeing it now in the beginning of the sixth parak. The sixth parak is the turning point of the Megillah. Rav Huna Amar, that is all but one approach in terms of how it is that these Shitas can maintain that you're going to be able to skip. It's based on the Pasuk of Atichtov Esther HaMakav Mordechai Yudu is called Tokef. Rav Huna has a different approach, meaning he's also going to explain all the shitas, but based on a different pasuk. So mehachu maru akachu mahigia alehem. So over here, the Megillah itself gives a quick summary of the Megillah. You know, you have to read ma ra'u al kacha, what they saw on this. That's two pronouns, and umahigia alehem, and what happened to them. That's your third pronoun. So you know how it works. This happens all the time in the Gemara. So we have pronouns, so they're ambiguous. Who is it making reference to? Okay, so now, man damer kula. So the one who says you have to read the entire Megillah, that's Rav Meir. So ma ra'a Achashverosh, nishtamesh bekelim shel beis hamikdash. So the ra'a over here is Achashverosh. Oh, so he takes out the clay, the kelim of the beis hamikdash. This is already the first paragraph of the Megillah. And he uses them. Al kacha, mishum dechashiv shivim shanim below ifrik. Now, why did he do it? Because he counted the 7 years, like we already discussed earlier in the Masechta, back on Daf Yud, Yud Aleph. So he tried counting the 70 years unsuccessfully, but as a result of that, so he took out the Kalim. That's the Al-Kacha. Umahi Gialehem. And now, what came as a result of it? The Kata Vashti. So as a result of the fact that he took out the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash, so now Vashti was killed as a result of that. All that we went over in much greater detail in the first parak of our Masechta. Good, but that is the explanation of the shita that you have to start from the beginning. Manda Amar mi Ish Yehudi. So the shita of Ish Yehudi. Let me give proper attribution. That is the shita of Rav Yehuda. So Mara Mordechai de Ikne Bahaman. So the Mara is a reference to Mordechai. That's a pronoun going on Mordechai. And what did he do? He incited Haman. So Al Kacha. And why? Why did he incite Haman? So Deshavin Hashem Avodah Zarah, because Haman thought of himself as an Avodah Zarah. And then what came as a result of that? A miracle came as a result of that, meaning Haman wanted to kill the Jews, and a miracle transpired as a result of that, where the Jews were not killed. So now we're going to do the same thing, but now for the third Shita of our Mishnah, that is the Shita of Rabbi Yossi, who says, so Mara Haman, so the Mara, the pronoun, is going on Haman. He was upset. He was angered by all the Jews. Over the fact that Mordechai didn't bow to him. But now the Mara is not going on Mordechai, but it's rather going on Haman. So that's why you only need to start when Haman's introduced, which is the third parak. And as a result of that, and Haman was hung as a result of all this. Now the Shita of the Rashbi that we learned in the Braisa that you could start from the halfway point of the Megillah. So what's that a result from? So Mara Achashverosh Lahavi Sefer Zichronos. So what is the Ra'ah going on? It's going on Achashverosh because Achashverosh says, "Look, I can't sleep. No, bring me the records. Bring me all the updated my updated files." Al Kacha Dizamnise Esther Lahaman Bahadei. And why couldn't he sleep that night? Because we know that the previous day, so there was an exclusive party made by Esther, and she invited Achashverosh and none other than Haman, and that was it. And that kept him up all night, again, as we discussed in the first parak. And then Umagi Yialehem Disrachishnis, and then the Mahi Yialehem, and what came as a result of that? Miracle came as a result of that. Okay. So we went not one, but two different rounds in terms of how the Amoraim explained the four different shitas of the Tanaim in terms of where you absolutely need to start from. Again, as we pointed out, the halachas like Ramer, we need to start from the beginning of the Megillah, but there are three other shitas. Amar Bichalba, Amar Rav Chama, Berguri, Amar Rav Halacha Kedivra, Amar Kula. So the Gemara here passed and said you have to start from the beginning. Ve'afila mandarim mishiudi, and even according to the other shita, the second time today we're hearing this halacha, and even according to the other shita that you could skip and start at a later point in time, so tzricha should take ksuva kula. The entire Megillah still has to be written in front of you. You need a complete Megillah. So even if you hold that you can skip, but you still need something to skip. As far as the labeling of the Megillah, so it's called a Sefer. So look, that we've done already numerous times, even in today's daf. Look at the top of today's daf. So we describe the Megillah as a Sefer. It's part of Tanakh, and it has all the statuses of it being a Sefer. On the same time, however, it's also called an Igeres. Lamai Nafkamina, we're going to see in just a moment. So on one hand, it's called a sefer, which means that it needs the halachas of a sefer Torah. And that is that when you stitch it together, so it has to be stitched, not with flax, but it has to, you need gidden, you need sinews in order to stitch it together like a sefer Torah. So, and if I stitch it with flax, it's going to be pasul. Now, at the same time, it's called the Nigeris, which means that it's a letter, which means that despite the fact that we said that it has to be stitched like a sefer, yeah, but you know what? We could be a little bit makel. Even if it's got three stitchings in it, that would be okay. In other words, by a Sefer Torah, it needs more. Not clear how much more we need by a Sefer Torah, but by a Megillah, so you can get away with three stitches, and that would be sufficient. Amar Rav Nachman of Avachu Hu Mishu Lashem. Now, as far as the spaces are concerned, the spaces between the three stitches have to be equidistant, which basically means that I have four equal spaces on the Megillah. Right? If you have a picture? No? Doesn't matter. So the, anyway, space, stitch, space, stitch, space, stitch, space. Okay, good. So what you're going to now have is four equal spaces between the three stitchings. Amrav Yehuda, Amrav Shmuel, Akorei b'Megillah, Aksuvah b'en Aksuvim, Lo Yatsa. Now, let's say you happen to have a Sefer Tanakh. Now, I say the word Sefer, so you're right. In our heads, everyone thinks book. Okay, not a book. It's a scroll. So let's say I have a scroll of Tanakh. Okay, in other words, it's a particularly long scroll, obviously. But in other words, I have a scroll of Tanakh, and as part of the Tanakh, there happens to be the Megillah is there. So now, can I open up my scroll of Tanakh and read the Megillah? So Rav Yehuda Mashmol says, no, you have not fulfilled your obligation. Now, why not? Because on one hand, in other words, are you reading from a Sefer? The answer, of course, is yes. Are you reading from an Igeres? The answer now is no. So here it comes out, it's funny. Moments earlier, the Gemara used Igeris to tell me a kula. You don't have to stitch it like a Sefer Torah, right? Three stitches would be sufficient. But now it comes out also to be a Chumrah, in that if I have the Megillah as part of Tanakh, and now I'm reading the Megillah, but because now it's a Sefer, but it doesn't qualify as an Igeris, so therefore it's no good. Well, what does that mean, an Igeris? Igeris basically means that it has to be a standalone letter. It has to be a standalone letter. So So if I have the Megillah that's part of my Sefer Torah, but it's indented, okay, it's a little bit narrower than the rest of the Tanakh, it's a little bit wider than the rest of Tanakh. Now, I'm not sure if I mean vertically, if I mean horizontally, whatever. It could be either way. But the point is that if it is outstanding, right, if it's distinct, so then that's fine. Then it will satisfy both the requirement of it being a Sefer and the requirement of it being an Igeres as well. Levi bar Shmuel hava kakari kami de Rav Yehuda ben Megillah Aksuva. The Gemara tells a story where Levi is reading. Levi is reading in front of Rav Yehuda in a Megillah. As we turn to the top of the Amud Beis, ben Megillah Aksuva bein Aksuvim. It was written amongst. In other words, it was part of Tanakh. Amale hare amra kari ben Megillah Aksuva bein Aksuvim lo yatsa. And he says, well, you can't be Yotze. So Amrav Chiyabar Abba Amrav Yochanan Kor B'Megillah Ksuva Ben Ksuvim Lo Yatsa. Oh. And now the Gemara quotes over B'Shem Rav Yochanan that if you read a Megillah, that's an incorporated part of the of just the Tanakh, Lo Yatsa. Umachalei Amocha. And he slaps, literally the expression is he slaps the head. But Rashi says basically what he does is that he qualifies. In other words, he says a halacha, but then he minimizes the halacha just a little bit. I know I said you haven't been Yotze, but umachalei amocha, okay, I'm sorry, ben eksuvim lo yatsa, umachalei amocha, but sibur shanu. That's talking about if you're reading it amongst the tzibur. Okay, if you're reading it amongst the tzibur, so then it has to be distinct. But if you're reading it privately, so then it's going to work. So it's right. So right. So in other words, the igeris qualification is really a function of tzibur. And right, Rashi says it. The Gemara says it. I mean, the Gemara doesn't say it as clearly, but certainly it seems to be the pshat in the Gemara. And because it's a function of pirsum anes, and so for pirsum anes, so it has to be a standalone. But if you're reading it privately, so then this igeret qualification is not going to be ma'akev. Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shir Atfar, Halach LaMoshe MeSinai. Okay. So then another statement by Rabbi Yochanan, having nothing to do with our discussion over here, just simply another halachos of Hilchos Safras. And that is when I stitch the columns of a Sefer Torah together, so don't stitch all the way to the edge. In other words, you're taking two sheets of paper, not paper, it's cloth. But you're obviously you're sewing them together like we learned earlier, and so but don't stitch it, don't sew it all the way to the end. Leave over shear, leave over a little bit of unstitched on seemingly both the top and the bottom as well. Now Rav Yochanan says that's a halach l'moshe mi-Sinai, and then umachle amocha, and then he says, oh wait, I need to qualify. Lo amr ela kedusha li-kareya. No, it's not really halach l'moshe mi-Sinai. It's really a practical halacha. Because what's going to happen over here is that if you apply any kind of tension to the Sefer Torah, right? You can think about our Sefer Torah, not yours. You Sfardim are safe. Mm-hmm. You did a much better job protecting your Sefer Torah. Mm-hmm. Okay, but us Ashkenazim, so what do we do? We have them rolled on two rollers, and so with no stability. And what we do then is we lift it up, and so obviously it creates a tremendous amount of tension. Now, if the stitching goes all the way to the top, so now what's going to happen if there's too much? If there's too much tension, so then it's going to tear. And the tear can now take place, not on the stitching, but the tear can take place on the actual column itself, on the actual urea itself. So if what we do, if we leave over a little bit unstitched on the top and on the bottom, so if we do apply too much tension, so there will be a tear, but the tear is going to be on the stitching. Okay. So it's a practical halacha. It's not halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai. And then the Gemara ends off this whole section with a piece of Agadata. Now the Agadata over here is totally unrelated to everything we've been discussing right now. However, it's the same Baal Memra, so that's the connective tissue. So the Gemara says as follows: you know, two people were passed over by Kadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe and Eliyahu. Right, so Moshe, we're familiar, that's in Parshas Kisisa, and as far as Eliyahu is concerned, so it's a Malachim base. So the, right, Perek Yutes, okay, whatever. So the, but anyway, so it was passed over by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and what HaKadosh Baruch Hu first needed to do is he put them in a cleft. Now, I'm saying all this as if I understand, okay? Obviously, you know, this is levels and levels above my understanding, but at least I could just say over the simple pshat. In other words, so they were put into a cleft, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu put his hand on the cleft so they didn't see, so to totally cover over as HaKadosh Baruch Hu was passing by. Again, full admission over here, I don't know what I'm saying. Just, in other words, but that's the simple imagery over here. And now, what the Gemara's point is over, as follows. The covering of both Moshe and Eliyahu was so complete, had there even been an allowance of just even the smallest amount of the Shekhinah to go through, so then Moshe and Eliyahu would not be able to withstand it. Even that of a small needle, right? That's the nekev machat tzidkis. Rashi says there are larger types of needles. We're talking about a really small needle. So in other words, they were hermetically sealed in order to make sure that they would be able to withstand HaKadosh Baruch Hu passing them over. I don't understand what I'm saying. In other words, so if they're hermetically sealed, so then what's the point of HaKadosh Baruch Hu passing them over? But again, all this is well above my, it's above my pay grade. We're almost done. I'm sorry. Shenamar, I didn't read the pasuk. Kilo yir any adam v'chai. I'm Rabbi Chia bar Abba. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. My dechsev aleim kechol advarim asher diber Hashem imachem bahar. So the and now just one last point, and that is that I showed Moshe everything on the mountain. Now when he says everything, so what does that mean? Malam yishar rakosh baruch leMoshe. Dikduke Torah v'dikduke sofrim umasha sofrim asidim lechadesh umayniu mikra megillah. So everything that's going to be emanating and coming out of the Torah, all the diukim, right, and not only the diukim, but even the rabbanans, Right? So Moshe was able to see the Megillah as well. In other words, obviously, the mitzvah of Kriyas Megillah historically is taking place at a later point in time. But while Moshe was on Har Sinai, so again, time was no longer a construct. And so Moshe was able to see everything. Even Afila Mikra Megillah, that's also part of the Torah itself, meaning that the Chachamim were given the ability, the right, and that at later points in time to write the Megillah, to institute a Yontif of Purim, etc., etc.
So, you know,
that
he foresaw the fourth fresh
gullet? Right. In other words, he saw Rabbi Kiva. Right. In other words, good. Okay. Next, we're up to the Mishnah. We're on Yates Amud Beis. So we're going to start. Now, admittedly, the sugya that's coming up over here is going to be a little bit complicated, but let's at least get us started over here. We're in good shape in terms of where we need to be, but let's not fall behind. So the Tanakhama says, now who's able to read the Megillah? Okay, so we've just spent a good part of the Masechta, half the Masechta, talking about when to read the Megillah, and that's not perfectly true. In other words, again, a lot of digression in the first parak, a lot of digression in the first parak, and even in the second parak, we talked a little bit about how you read the Megillah, but now the discussion is who's reading the Megillah. So the Mishnah says, how kol k'sherim l'kros is the Megillah? Anyone can read the Megillah, with notable exception to Cheresh Shoteh V'Katan. The Tanakhama says that your Cheresh cannot read the Megillah, nor can a Shoteh, nor can a Katan. Okay, let's start with Shota because that's the easiest. Shota is somebody who is mentally deranged. In other words, he does not have the requisite da'as in order that he's going to be able to read the Megillah and be mostly the Megillah for others. Okay, that's easy. That one's easy. So certainly by a Shota, when we're disqualifying a Shota, we mean afilu b'di'evet. He can't read the Megillah. Okay, where does it get complicated? It gets complicated with a katan, and it gets complicated with a cheresh as well. Okay, let's start with let's go to a cheresh. Now, cheresh is complicated. Why? Because we're not talking about a classic cheresh. We can't be talking about a classic cheresh. A cheresh, as far as the Mishnah is concerned, is it cannot hear and cannot talk. So he's a deaf and he's a mute. Now, if we're talking about a deaf mute, so then what does that mean? The Mishnah is telling us he can't read the Megillah. You know why he can't read the Megillah? He can't read the Megillah because he can't read the Megillah. Okay, so, right, hopefully you understood that. So, obviously, that's not what the Mishnah means. The Mishnah by a cheresh means that he has the ability to speak, but he doesn't have the ability to hear. Okay, it's not the classic understanding of cheresh, but you have to say that's the pshat in the Mishnah. So now what the Mishnah is telling us is a chiddush, in that even though he has the ability to speak, so he can articulate the words, but as a result of the fact that he can't hear, so therefore he can't be motzi others. That's what the Mishnah is saying. And now we turn our attention to the katan. Okay, this by far and away is going to be extraordinarily complicated. So the Mishnah says that a katan cannot read the Megillah. Now, by katan, so we know that there are two types of katanim. There's a katan she enu higila hechinuch, in other words, really young, a 5-year-old, a 6-year-old, and then there's a katan she higila chinuch, an 11-year-old. And so we know that by a katan she enu higila chinuch, he's pater from mitzvahs, period. On the other hand, a katan she higila chinuch, so at least mid the rabbanim, he's chayv in the mitzvah of mikra megillah. So our Mishnah says that a katan cannot read. What kind of katan are we talking about? Well, hold that thought. In other words, that obviously, that needs clarification. We'll hold that thought. Because now we go to the next part of the Mishnah. Rav Yehuda machshir b'katan. And Rav Yehuda says, no, katan can go ahead and read. And he can read for others. Okay. Who? What? According to Rav Yehuda, katan can read for others? In other words, he's an einu mechuyu b'davar. He's not obligated yet. So look at Tosus over here. Rav Yehuda machshir. Kasha b'ezah katan may read. So Tosus over here is bothered. We're talking about what kind of katan. So ibalo higila chinuch may tamid Rav Yehuda de machshir. So if we're talking about a katan shaloi gila chinuch, he's 5 years of age, there is no way. There is no way that Rabbi Yehuda would allow a 5-year-old to read the Megillah for anybody else. He's not chayev on an adult level. I was going to say daraisa, but we're talking about the Megillah. So he's not chayev on an adult level, and he's not even chayev mid derabanan. In other words, there's no mitzvah of chinuch. Hamrin abesof perek basa derash hashana kol sheinu mechuyi b'davrin mosei achrei midei chavasam. Now the ihi gila chinuch. Okay, so let's say he's 11 years of age. So now that he has the mitzvah of chinuch, so my time of derabanan, the pasle v'alo kol acherim nami en chayav en alma derabanan. And so Tosha says, but then I'm confused, because if he's an 11-year-old, so there's a mitzvah of chinuch, and the mitzvah of chinuch requires him to read the Megillah on what level? Mid derabanan. The mitzvah of chinuch is a din derabanan. Okay, but everyone else is also obligated to hear the Megillah mid derabanan. So Tosha says, so now I'm confused, because if we're talking about a katan shehigil a chinuch, so then I understand Rabbi Yehuda, and I don't understand the Tanakhama of our Mishnah. So all this becomes unbelievably confusing. I'm going to skip to the halfway point of the Tosos over here. Tosos offers the following as a chiddush. V'yesh lamar. De la'ola mayri, this is halfway point of the Tosfos. De la'ola mayri bekanchi yigil achinuch v'afilo hachi. Pasal rabbanan mishum de megillah leke chiyuva afilo begedolim elamid de rabbanan. So, as far as the adults are concerned, they're chayv on a derabbanan level. The katan ein mechuyv elamid de rabbanan afilo b'shar mitzvos. So, and as far as the katan is concerned, so his obligation is only midrabanan. Uvegadol leke elachad rabbanan b'megillah sharei b'shar mitzvos uchayv daraisa. And as far as the gadol is concerned, so their level is only one derabbanan down. Velo asi trade derabbanan umapik chad derabbanan. So Tosfos over here is an unbelievable chiddush, and that is that even if we're talking about a katan sheigil chinuch, he's now two derivatives lower. He's one level lower than a gadol. A gadol is operating on a derabbanan. The katan sheigil chinuch, so he's a derabbanan on a derabbanan. It's a derivative. And as a result of that, even his derabbanan is not on the same level as the gadol's derabbanan. That's why the Tanakhama says that we're talking about a katan sheigil chinuch, but because his derabbanan is lower than their derabbanan, he can't be mostly them. Okay, levels of derabbanan. A tremendous chiddush of Tosfos in terms of explaining what kind of katan we're talking about.
It should be
mostly a woman. The Tosfos earlier, the Daf Gimel, Dalet. Tosfos earlier discusses that in terms of the woman's obligation and her not only her obligation, but her ability to be motzi other people. So that was Tosfos back in Daf Dalet. Okay, we're going to pause because now the Gemara is going to try to find who the author of our Mishnah is, and it's going to get a little bit complicated, I admit, but we'll pick it up tomorrow. Let's quickly recap, let's review our Daf today. The our Daf, we started with, the Daf that we do is Lezeich Nishma Zev Ben Yosef Halevi. First year at site. Neshama Shehav and Aliyah. Okay. Let's quickly recap our day. We started off today with the halacha that, if you are reading the Megillah, but only because you're writing it down, so you're gonna be Yotze, but only with Kavana. That was our Mishnah. And the Gemara just simply wanted to know, what does that mean? Meaning, if you're writing and reading the Megillah, you don't have a complete Megillah in front of you, and you need a complete Megillah in front of you. We learned that not once, but twice this morning. So what exactly is the scenario? The Gemara painted a scenario. We're talking about where you already had a Megillah, and you're copying from a pre-existing Megillah. Then the Gemara used that as an opportunity to talk about Hilchos Safras. And that when you're writing any one of Sifrei Tanakh, you have to be copying it from a pre-existing Megillah, from a pre-existing Sefer. You cannot copy it by memory. So notable exceptions we learned this morning, Reb Meir, but that was a Shas Hadchak. In other words, he was traveling to Asia in order to be Ma'av Hashana. So he didn't have an Ein Breira, he didn't have a choice in the matter. Another notable exception is when you're writing Tefillin Mezuzos. So the Gemara says it's so shugar b'fiv, it's so common, everyone knows it, when I say everyone, meaning the Sofrim know it so well, so therefore they also don't have to copy it from a pre-existing mezuzah or tefillin. That was our first section of today's daf. Then, on the Mishnah, on Yud Tes Amud Aleph, so we went over the halachas of what if you're traveling from a walled city to an unwalled city, from an unwalled city to a walled city, and the halacha is, I'm saying it really simply, in other words, and there are a lot of details, but the halacha is that as long as you're there for the day, you have now established residency legabe this halacha. And when we say the day, we really mean dawn. So as long as you're there night overnight and up to and through dawn, so now you now have established residency in whatever town you're in, and you're obligated to read it in that town. Okay, that's the halacha. Notable exception to the Ben Kfar. The Ben Kfar, who already heard the Megillah on the previous Monday or Thursday, but if he finds himself in town on the 14th, even though he already heard the Megillah, Nachum Ali has to hear the Megillah again, and the Gemara went on to explain that halacha. Then we talked about skipping parts of the Megillah. So there are three other Tanaim, other than Rav Meir, who say that you can skip parts of the Megillah. So what part of the Megillah you could skip? So there are three other opinions. Rav Meir says you have to read the entire Megillah from beginning to end, but the Shitas of Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, and the Rashbi or all of the opinion that you could skip parts of the Megillah. So what we went through in detail in today's daf is which parts of the Megillah you can skip and on what basis are you allowed to skip those parts of the Megillah. We had two approaches amongst the Amoraim in terms of how we darshan out that you could skip those parts of the Megillah. A couple of assorted other halachas that are mentioned on the bottom of Yates Amud Aleph, going to the top of Yates Amud Beis, some halachas in Safras, a little bit of Agadata for today. And then we started the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah says that anyone can read the Megillah with notable exception to Cheresh, Shota, V'Katan. Shota is the easiest to explain. Cheresh, we're talking about someone who could speak but cannot hear. And Katan, so Katan is a real challenge in terms of why wouldn't a Katan be able to read for an adult? So in the Mishnah, it's a machlokes between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda. Tanakhama says it does not work. Rabbi Yehuda says that it does work. What kind of cotton are we talking about? If it's cotton shelo higia lechinuch, then there's no way we could possibly understand the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. And if we're talking about the cotton shehigia lechinuch, we're going to struggle to understand the shita of the Tanakhama. But then we saw Tosus this morning, where Tosus invites us to a tremendous chiddush, which is that there are levels of derabanan, meaning we are talking about a cotton shehigia lechinuch. It just happens to be that the gadol, the adult, has a principled level of a derabanan, and the katan has a derivative level of a derabanan, and his derivative level cannot be mostly the principled level of the adult. Adkan.